We ask you to stand, if you're able, and read with us here in the Word of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 161, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Lord, I have hoped for thy salvation and done thy commandments. My soul hath kept thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept thy precepts and thy testimonies, for all my ways are before thee." Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, wonderful Savior, Father, we thank you once again. Lord, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for the songs. We thank you, Lord, Father, that there's still honey in the rock. We thank you, Lord, that it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, I'm glad today that we have a copy of your word. Glad today, Lord Father, that we can read your word, study your word. Lord Father, to know more about you. Lord, may we pray today, Lord, that we would apply your word to our heart. That not just know more about you, but to get to know you more and better. May we draw close to you. As John the Baptist said, you must increase and I must decrease. Lord, I find today your words are life. Your words are spirit. That's what Jesus said in John chapter number 6. He said, "Our flesh profiteth nothing, but it's the spirit that quickeneth." Lord, I pray today for every heart that's here. I pray for the seriousness of the matter. Lord, I pray. Pray for our hearts. Pray for every circumstance and situation. No doubt, Lord Father, we need you today. And Lord Father, I ask you to anoint me, to help me, Lord, if you would. One more time to preach your message, Lord. I ask you one more time, Lord Father, to anoint this lips of clay. Anoint my body, Lord, that I might be hid in the midst of the cross, Lord, that I would lose sight of myself and this congregation would lose sight of Jason Faulkner. And they would have their spiritual eye focused upon you. Lord, Father, we know today, Lord, that everything that you say in this word is for us. Lord, may we see and realize that you're for us. Lord, Father, but it's our sins that causes the problems in our life. Lord, may we come to you to be cleansed, to be cleaned. Lord, Father, purify and purged. And do it all in Christ Jesus' name, our Redeemer and our Savior. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. Wrestled with this scripture probably for a while last night in the morning, and wanted to preach on have a catchy title. As if I've said in the past, I was told by some preachers having a catchy title often keeps people's mind interested. So I sat and thought, and I got two things that come to my mind. The first one is no peace, or you can know peace. No peace, or you can know peace. Then I thought about preaching it as saying there's something missing. There's something missing. I'd have to say, and you probably would agree, that in the world that we're living in today, there is something missing. I do believe it's peace. There's no peace. Seems like on every hand, somebody's upset, somebody's been wrong, somebody has been cheated, somebody has been mistreated. I thought, as I read this and read this scripture, and thinking now of the one that took all those lives by gun over in Virginia, they suspect that it was a disgruntled employee. No doubt we have heard the times that we're living in where kids go into schools and shoot up schools, and we've heard in the past of employees going to jobs and killing fellow employees. We have heard of people being upset and just division all around, it seems like, is all we hear of today. But can I say, even in a troubled time, we can still have peace. We can still know what peace is. We can still have peace. And I will say from the depths of my heart, I do believe that probably most of us here today, if not all of us, struggle at times with that, having peace. Having peace. These scriptures here, and I was going to focus just on address verse 165, when it says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." The writer is saying that those that really love the Word of God and stick to the Word of God, he says, they shall have great peace, whose mind is stayed on that law, whose mind loves that law, and it says nothing shall offend them. It didn't say that things that would offend would not come. He says nothing shall offend them. May I say, in that very first verse, the psalmist says, he says, the princes have persecuted me without a cause. He's saying folks has come against me. Folks has brought things against me. Things that there's no reason for them to behave that way towards him. Things that's happened or caused some things that's happened to that writer's life. He says the princes, it wasn't just his fellow people, but it was from a great level of height in position, has persecuted him, has come against him. I can't remember which kid it was of mine that was talking about quoting a verse or quoting a message from Billy Graham. And David says, in the presence of my enemies, thou preparest a table before me. David is bragging on the Lord. He's saying, in the presence of my enemies, he's saying, I've got enemies all around me. I've got trouble all around me. And the Lord still prepares the table. And my son said that what Billy Graham says, not in the absence of your enemies, but in the presence of your enemies, he prepares a table. And can I say, we're living in the day and time now where it seems like even your neighbor don't even like living next door to you. It's even rough to even go to work. Sometimes it seems like this whole entire world, our country I should say, is turned upside down, and it seems like there's no place to find peace. There's the absence of peace. And can I say, sometimes people don't realize when there's an absence of something, there's a void, there's nothing there. There's things that we'll try to put in that void. They'll never satisfy. I thought about being empty. You look at people today and I've come across a lot of people today, and you'll talk with them, and the more they talk, the more they complain about their situation. The more they're disgruntled about their situation, it seems like they're empty. Their life is empty. They have no positive point about their life. And you know what emptiness is? Emptiness is not a thing. Emptiness is the lack of a thing. Emptiness is being not filled. Emptiness is void. Emptiness is not having something there. It's like being cold. Cold is not a thing. Cold is measured by the lack of heat, the lack of warmth. Being cold means you're not having any kind of heat being put on. It's like being darkness. Darkness is not a thing. Darkness is the absence of life. I mean, absence of light. Think about this. We measure light. We measure lights by our flashlights. How many candle lights or candle white brightness it is of a flashlight. We measure outer space by light years. We measure things. But nobody ever measures anything by darkness. Darkness is the absence of life. Let's look at death. Death is not a thing. Death is the absence of life. When there's no life, then you have nothing. I've thought about this many a time, and now I got one working for a funeral home. As many of the funerals that I have been and officiated over, and some of you here have also officiated over, I've looked over into them caskets, and some people may think this is kind of cold and callous. I hope it's not. But what I know of the person that's laying in there ain't in there no more. Because what made them alive, what made them special, what made them to be something is long gone by now. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. But can I say this today? Though in a world where there is turmoil in the world, where there is a chaos in the world, where there's emptiness in the world, where there's coldness in the world, where there's darkness in the world, there is death. Can I say, there is hope, there is a hope, and there is a peace that can fill the void. And that's in Jesus Christ. I have found that most people, and I know some people may think I'm crazy, but you can't hide the lack of peace.
You may hide it from me, but you can't hide it from yourself. You may not wrestle with not having peace in my presence, but you'll wrestle not having peace when you're by yourself. You'll wrestle with things that just seems like you can't win, things that you struggle with, the things that just is going on. But I have found that most of the time when we wrestle with things about peace, it's not because something has took our peace away. It's because we won't receive what's giving us the peace. We've allowed things to get in the way. We've allowed things to interfere. And I thought about it as the psalmist wrote. He said in that very first verse, as we said, we'll hit her again. He says, the princes have come against me. In verse number 161, I hope you have your Bible still open. Princes have persecuted me without a cause. Notice, he gives the first half of Psalm 119, verse 161. He gives half of that verse to what's going on in his life. But for the next seven and a half verses, he spends his time praising God. Can I say this? You've heard me, this preacher, say that you can spend time counting the bruises, counting the afflictions, and counting the things that's wrong, counting the things that people has come against you. But friend, can I say this today? If you start talking about the blessings that God has provided, friend, you'll spend more time counting them than you will with the bruises that's happened in your life. Notice that he says, after they've done that, but he says, my heart standeth in awe of thy word. The psalmist is trusting in his word. Y'all with the preacher? He says, my heart is in awe. It stands in awe. He says, I am amazed. I am mesmerized, not by his works, but by his word. Can I say this? God puts his word high above everything else. The Bible says, thy word, O Lord, is settled in heaven. Can I say, though they may change it, though they may try to scrap it out and water it down and do all kinds of things, but friends, can I say this? It's still settled in heaven. I played a little video about the word of the Lord to Brother James. A man had sent it to me about this preacher when he was in the 1950s and he got saved. And all he wanted was a copy of the word of God. He wanted a Bible. That's what he always wanted after he got saved. He wanted a Bible. He wanted a Bible. And he wanted a Bible. And he said he searched throughout the pews. If a leaflet or something fell out of the pews, he would take that leaflet and he would take it home. And he would just read that one page of that leaflet. And he would go through the pews, the back of the pews where the boxes were. And if somebody had left a pamphlet or a part or a piece of the Bible laying there, he would collect and collect and collect. I do believe it. I think he said he had quite a good collection of the pages of the Bible. But he didn't have a Bible. But he read them and he read them and he read them. He said, as a young kid, he's standing outside and saw the pastor's wife walking up the road. And he said she was a strange or a different woman or an odd woman. I can't remember what he said. But when he saw her, he said she had a Bible and she gave him a Bible. She said, you've wanted one, now you love it. She says, you read it and you live by that Bible. That was back in the 1950s. And by the time I was reading that or watching that was 1994. He still had the same Bible. He was patting on it. He was loving it. He was putting it next to his cheek. He said, I even would take it to bed and lay it in bed with me and sleep with that Bible. He said every morning he'd get up and read that Bible. And he said he would also ask God to order him according his steps. Order them according to his word. Order his steps according to his promise. Order his steps according to what is settled in heaven. I don't know about how his life was. It was just a short testimony. But then they fast forwarded to 2008 and they showed his casket. He told his wife, he said, if I go before you, please bury me with my Bible. And in his casket, he laid there and underneath his hands laid that Bible that he so dearly loved. Can I say this, friend? There's many things out in this world that will promise you peace. There's many things in this life that'll try to promise you tranquility. But friend, as the psalmist said, as that old black preacher says, and as I'm saying from the pulpit of Mount Zion Baptist Church, oh, in 100 East Broadway Street, South Lebanon, Ohio, you can find peace in nothing else but in the Word of God. I have found that when you apply it to your life, you walk according. Hey, can I say you're not going to be perfect? Though the Bible demands perfection, God demands perfection, and you're not going to heaven unless you're perfect. And somebody says, well, preacher, we're all in trouble. Hey, we all would be, but bless God, it's not based upon our perfection now. It's based upon the perfection of Jesus Christ who died upon the cross. And now my life is hid with him in God. Oh, bless his name. That should bring you some peace today, knowing that you're saved. I find in this word that the psalmist said, my heart stands in awe. He says, I am amazed, I am mesmerized at your word. He says in 162, I rejoice at that word as one that findeth great spoil. He says, I'm reading this Bible. I'm reading His Word. And think about this. He didn't have a complete Bible like we have today. He had the laws of God. So basically, if you have it, He had everything that marked it was sin in the world. So He didn't have where to turn to, as in to find the help. He was just to turn to God, Sister Tina. But he had a copy of God's Word that told him what not to turn to and what not to step into. Y'all listen to the preacher. Oh, I find many things today. I find when I walk, I drive by, and there's even a building in this town that's got a bumper sticker on the window. I find them on the bumpers that says coexist. And they got an emblem of every kind of paganistic religion and every kind of belief there is, and even put a cross up here. Friend, we don't coexist. There's only one Lord, one Savior, one Spirit, one baptism, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, can I say this? Some folks is wanting to exist. I don't know about you, but my Bible says that God wants us to live, not just exist. And friend, when you don't have peace, you ain't living. You ain't living. The psalmist says, he says, I find it, I rejoice in His word. He said, I hate and abhor lying, but Thy law do I love. He's making his stance on truth and on lies. He says, now get this, I find myself short in Psalm 119, verse 164. And I got to ask God to forgive me. Maybe you got to ask Him too. But look at verse 164. He said, seven times a day do I praise Thee. God, help me. Amen. Y'all pray for your pastor. I don't know if I praise him seven times a day or not. Sometimes I think I like to praise him more than seven. But there's been days, I don't know about you, but I've got my head in the mully grubs. I've got upset over this and I got upset over that. And it caused me to put my lip down to my knees and I'm pouting about something. But you know what? They may wrong you at Walmart and we'll still go back to Walmart. They'll wrong you at Kroger's, we'll still go back to Kroger's. They'll wrong you at the Dollar Tree, they'll wrong you at the Dollar General. I even went to that Five Below and was majorly disappointed. I thought it was this dream store they was talking about yesterday. I thought it was the dream store and I was disappointed. But you know what? I found myself going back in there again. But can I say this? God has never wronged us. God never has done nothing but do good for us and on our behalf. Am I hearing this preacher this morning? I say praise His holy and righteous name. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be lifted up. And the Bible says, the psalmist said, I do it seven times a day. Hey, we should at least do it seven times a day, if not more. The Bible says it's our reasonable service to offer ourselves up a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the will of God, proving what is the perfect, good, and acceptable will of God. But he's saying, I offer up praises unto Him seven times a day. I've sat and thought about this. I hope y'all don't get mad. But I am the pastor, and I do have a feeler out for the Spirit. For the last little bit now on Sunday mornings, it seems like our singing's just subpar. It seems like our praise is just subpar. It seems like just the worship is just subpar. And somebody prays, preacher, you ought not to be that way to us. Friend, I'm just giving you what God's given me. And somebody says, well, if you knew what brother so-and-so said, if you knew what sister so-and-so said and did, you'd see why I'm upset and want to praise God. But friends, you're not praising God because of sister so-and-so and brother what's his name. Praising God because He's the author of peace and this Word of God. Is anybody listening to this preacher this morning? Huh? Should I just wrap her up and close the Bible and say, you know what, meet y'all back at men's meeting at 5 o'clock? Is anybody hearing this preacher? Oh, can I say this? Oftentimes we'll struggle. We'll struggle. I ain't got to the message yet. This is all introduction. Verse 165, he says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend thee. Nothing shall offend them. He's saying, don't you trust, put your hope and trust in what man can do. Now I'm going to get to, there's another part of this message, and God didn't tell me I can't preach it right now. So I don't know when I'll get to be able to preach it. It's whenever He says to. But He says, nothing shall offend them. I know, and I'm guilty of it too, so don't you think I'm thrown off on nobody. We think somebody's done something. Maybe somebody has done something. We don't think it. Somebody has done. And it offends us. It affects our worship. It affects our praise. It affects everything about what we're doing. We become stoved up and stubbed up to the people that are around us who have not done no wrong unto us, but will do it unto them. You know what that is a lack of? That's a lack. It's an absence of peace. It's a lack and an absence of trusting in the Word of God. I'm telling you, I'm preaching from guilt. I'm not preaching from Mr. Know-it-all, Mr. I'm perfect, don't do nothing wrong. But can I say this? Oftentimes we'll look around and say, did you see or did you hear? Did you watch? Did you notice? Did you see on this? Did you see on that? What so-and-so did? You know what? I think if we spend more time in the Word of God and more time worshiping God and praising God, those things are still going to come, but they won't offend us as much as they normally do. He says in His Word in Psalm 119, verse 166, He says, Lord, I have hoped for Thy salvation and done Thy commandments. My soul hath kept Thy testimonies, and I love them exceedingly. I have kept Thy precepts and Thy testimonies, for all my ways are before Thee. What He's saying was, He said, everything that you've ever done, everything that you ever accomplished. You notice He didn't say everything that you've ever done for me. He said, everything you've ever done, I trust in. He's saying that maybe it didn't happen to me and for me, but I saw it happen to somebody else and for somebody else. So therefore, I'm trusting in it. If you've done it for them, then that means you'll do it for me. Right? That good old song we like to hear sing, I'm wading through deep waters trying to get home. And the waves of sin, they crash so high, sometimes I think I'm gone. But when I think I'm going to sink, I raise my hands up high. And the mighty hand of God comes down and takes a hold of mine. That song talks about the first verse about Moses. How the children of Israel come to the Red Sea and God's parted the waters. He said, if it done it for them, He'll do the same for me. Second verse says, Peter was walking out to meet the Lord, took his eyes off the Lord, put his eyes upon the circumstance of the situation he was in, and he began to sink in his situation. What'd he do? He cried out unto the Lord. What'd the Lord do? He reached out his hand and pulled him up out of the water. He said, you done it for Peter, you'll do the same for me. That psalmist is saying, I saw you do it for this person. I saw you do it for that person. That means you'll do it for me. The psalmist says, I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you with peace. I find that when we do these things about the peace, and I gave you emptiness and coldness, I gave you darkness, and I gave you death without life. But can I say this? There's been times that we have been full, but we went out and got empty. We've spurned or we neglected or we've forgotten about the things that God does in our life or the promise of God's Word. But I find we're in familiar company. In Ruth chapter number 1 and verses 21 through 22, or you have 20 through 21, the Bible says that Ruth was, as she was coming back, or Naomi was coming back with Ruth, Naomi told them, she says, don't call me Naomi no more, but call me Mara. She says, for I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. I'm paraphrasing both verses. She's bitter, she's upset because she went out full, Brother James, but now she's empty. But can I say, praise God, the verse says that she went out full, but the Lord was the one who brought her back. I say, amen. Thank God He still brings back His people. That's what Brother Don was testifying about. You might be here and you might be saved and you ain't been praising, you ain't been living, you ain't been doing according to God's Word. You've failed, you've stumbled, you've slipped, you've messed up, you've sinned. Friend, can I say this? Hey, ain't none of us perfect. This flesh is rotten, this flesh is no good, but I thank God He's plenteous in mercy and He's ready to forgive. His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Oh, friend, though you may be empty, be of good cheer. God's preaching a message to your heart saying, come to me. I'll bring you back again and I'll fill you up again. Don't stay in your empty condition. Don't waller in your condition. Don't think you'll never go nowhere. Put your hope and trust in God. He'll fill you back up. I'm glad to know, even though it may be cold, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter number 26, verse number 20, He said, well, there's no wood, the fire ceaseth. He said, well, there's no wood, the fire ceaseth. Now, I know some people might say, preacher, I know that whole verse. Well, I'm glad you know that whole verse. But I like that first part. He says, well, there's no wood, the fire ceaseth. But I like it that though there's a situation and a problem and there's a lack of wood, I find that in Acts chapter number 28 when Paul was shipwrecked, he was on an island, did not know where he was. There were some barbarous people there. And they said, you know what? These people's in a bad condition. These people's been shipwrecked. These people's had an awful situation. You know what they need? They need themselves a good old fire. And the Bible says they kindled a fire for the Apostle Paul. Praise God, somebody still, I might not be able to rub the two sticks together. I might not be able to strike the flint and cause the spark. I don't have the gasoline. But Brother James, maybe somebody else can get the fire going. Somebody else can stoke up the fire and fan the flames. And at least I can do is go find me a bundle of sticks and put it on the fire, let the fire get good and hot. And friend, when the people of God get a fire fanning going good and hot, if the viper and the snakes of sin reach out and grab onto you, you can shake them off in the fire and have that peace that comes from God. I also find that where there's darkness, though the Bible says in John chapter 3 and verse number 19, he says, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Can I say the way of the wicked is as a darkness by that they know not by with where they stumble? Can I say that though men love darkness and though the wicked stumble in the darkness, I'm reminded what Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 5. He said, you are a city set upon a hill that cannot be hid. He says, you are the light of the world. I'm glad no matter how dark it is, Brother Josh, I'm glad Jesus still has His church. Jesus still has the light, and it's set up high so everybody can see and go unto it. I find in these scriptures, there's hope. A hope for peace. Can I say this? I got hit with this very same thing, this very same hip from the Lord. And I'll end her up like this. Go to John chapter 14. I'm almost done. John chapter 14. I found, wrote some things down. I have read that wrong thinking. Wrong thinking doesn't allow room for peace. I have found the feeling of guilt doesn't give you room for peace. I have found anger don't allow much room for peace. I have found bitterness doesn't give you much opportunity for peace. I have found jealousy doesn't give you much opportunity for peace. I have found unbelief doesn't give you much opportunity for peace. I have found being double-minded, doubtful, doesn't bring peace. And I found self-centeredness. Self-centeredness will never bring peace. But I found in John chapter 14 what does. I have found in all those things that I wrote, I found that the wrongful thinking, I hope y'all don't think less of me, but wrongful thinking still hits this preacher. Hope you don't think less of me, but lustful thinking still hits this preacher. I hope you don't think of me, jealousy hits this preacher. I hope you don't get upset, guilt hits this preacher. Anger and bitterness still comes to this preacher. Unbelief, double-minded, being doubtful still comes to this preacher. And self-centeredness still comes to this preacher. Now maybe none of them things hits you all, but they still hit me. And I have found when I wrestle with those things, when I'm wrestling with any of those things, and you could probably add more to the list. Those are just the ones that I thought of, the ones I've come across. I'll wrestle with them. I'll struggle with them. And while I'm wrestling and struggling with them, the one who wants to give me peace, I can't. The one who wants to give me peace, I can't seem. I hope y'all with the preacher. I'm just going to read in John chapter 14 after this and I'm done. I'll go home. I'll be upset. I ain't going to lie to you. Woke up. Normally I wake up on Sunday morning. Dancing. Ready to go. I struggle with something all night long. Physically. I get up. What's the first thing I do? Man, I don't feel like going to church today. Now, I ain't saying if you feel bad, you ought to come to church no matter what. I'm just saying what I was going through today. I could still walk. I was leaving my appointment Friday, and this woman had her arm in a cast like this, and I'm gimping my knees like a grapefruit. And they said, oh, you'll probably have that for another 6 months, but you're doing good. I'm like, man, I need to be a doctor. I'm in the elevator, and I'm going down the elevator. I said, ma'am, I hope everything's okay with your arm. She says, oh, it will be. I thank God it's still attached. Or she said, I'm thankful it's still attached. She goes, I'm thankful I can walk out of here. I felt about that big. Because what I wanted was her to go, well, what was you in there for? I wanted somebody to strum that fiddle of sorrow for me and sympathy. But we'll spend our time wrestling with these things. And they come from areas and situations where they ought not to come from. We'll wrestle with this and we'll wrestle with that. Some come from within. That's what James says. He says, you lust and you have not, because when you ask amiss. What's going on? You're wrestling with your own flesh. And when you finally get to ask God for something, get for your walk to show and glorify God, you're asking so it might be consumed upon your flesh. I don't know if anybody else has ever been guilty, but I have. I've wrestled. I said, Lord, why this and why that? I've wrestled here recently. I said, Lord, why can't I do this and why can't I do that? And God's going, I'm asking you the same thing. Why can't you? Why can't you? I hear people say, well, I can't do this because of my job, and I can't do this because of my family, and I can't do this because of my circumstance, and I can't do this because of this situation. I can't do that because of this person. I can't do that because this person always stands in my way. And I find out, and I look, and I say, well, how come them people's acting that way? And this is what happens to me, Christian. God starts showing me I'm doing the very same thing. The one thing I don't have, I have no peace. And since I have no peace, I start looking for things that won't give peace. Y'all listen to the preacher? I've never went back to alcohol. I've never went back to drugs. I never went back to none of those things. So when I try to lay out my pedigree, Brother James, from being born again, God goes, that's pretty good, but you run to here. And you run to there. And all you're running, the one place you don't run to, is back to me. There's a song the kids love to sing, and we listen to it on the truck, and it comes on every so often. It says, come back to me, my child, for my arms are open wide. Come back to me and rest in my love. I'll never turn you away. No matter how long you may stray, come back to me. You can always come back to me. So if I'm reading and telling you about peace, if I'm reading and telling you how much peace is, I'm going to tell you can only come, the peace that you need can only come from one place. Come from Jesus Christ. One place and one place only. And I never realized this until this morning. It's been a scattered morning, Sister Amy, and I thought, man, I don't want to, I hope y'all, James, I think you might know what I'm talking about. I didn't want to lay a dud this morning. I didn't want to come up and be carnally minded. Josh, I didn't want to come up and fail the Lord. My heart's desire is that you all be fed. And as I was reading in John chapter 14, the Lord's like, Jason, here's you a chapter of peace. A chapter of peace. If you got John chapter 14, would you please go to it? Notice what he says in verse 1. He says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also. Isn't that wonderful to know? Ain't that peace that can just lodge in your heart and say, you know, he went to go prepare a place for me that I can go to with him. And then he says in verse 4, and whether I go, you know, and the way, you know. But I don't know about anybody like you, but I'm like Thomas. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whether thou goest, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said another verse full of peace. He says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. Oh, I can't read. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We're not trying to get there on our own, church. We're trying to get there through and by the Savior. If you're trying to get there on your own, you ain't going to make it. But can I give you a little piece of blessing? You don't have to try to make it on your own. There's a Savior with arms open wide who's not going to hold your hand. He's going to carry you all the way. He says in verse number 7, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Skip down to verse number 12. He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. What a wonderful promise that you can go to the Father in the name of Christ. Nobody here could get access to God. Why? Because we've wronged God. Why do you think it's preached so much from this pulpit in Acts chapter 20 where it says it's repentance towards God? It's because we wronged God. We wronged Him. But the Bible says in Isaiah 53, the chastisement of our peace, He put on Christ. He put on Christ. Why? Because when Christ was offered up, when Christ suffered that chastisement, we get His peace, and the Savior took our wrath, but we get His peace. Oh, bless God, what a promise of peace we can have. Notice what He says in verses 16, 17, and 18. He says, and I will pray to the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, and He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him. He dwelleth with you, and you shall be, and He shall be in you. And I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Isn't that wonderful to know? Notice what He says in verse 22, what it says. Judas saith unto Him, not a Iscariot, Lord. How is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us and not unto the world? Can I say something? Don't y'all look at me like you're super spiritual. Here's the other Judas, not Iscariot, and he's saying, Lord, how are you going to show us it's you? How are you going to show me? How are you going to show me it's you? Can I say this? I don't know about anybody else, but there's times I've got down. I said, Lord, where are you at? I've cried and said, Lord, I need you. It seems like it's dark. It seems like everything's closing in. And Lord, I need you. And I wrestle and I struggle with the doubt and the unbelief. And when I'm wrestling with all those things, you know what I don't have? I don't have peace. There's in the absence of the peace of God, in the absence of not going to Christ, something else tries to fill it in. Can I say when I'm empty, the one thing I don't need hatefulness, I don't need disgruntledness, I don't need disappointment, I don't need negativity to leap into my heart and into my mind. You know why? What happens, Tammy Faulkner? It becomes to be contagious. And when it comes to be contagious, next thing you know, you start affecting the people around you. And Judas is saying, Lord, how are you going to show us unto us? In verse 22, Jesus answered and He said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him, and he will make our abode with him. Can I say this? You can put with you. Put your name right there. He will make up his abode with Jason Faulkner. Verse 24, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. Now go to verse 27 and I'll be done. Jesus says these words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Now as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You can't find peace in the world. Can't find it. You can't find peace in the world. Don't mistake what the world tries to masquerade and cover up. True peace comes from Jesus Christ. And I hope everybody's still listening. When we come in here on Sunday, sometimes it's a struggle because we spent Monday through Saturday wrestling with things that do not bring peace. I have found that if you want peace today, this is what you ought to do. You got to come to the one who gives it. can't go to the world. You got to come to Jesus. You may say, preacher, I don't know the word like that psalmist does. Here's the greatest thing you could think of. Jesus, Bible says in John chapter number 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and by Him were all things made, and without Him was not anything made. And you go down a couple more verses, and this is what it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus Christ. So you can come to Jesus. You can come to Jesus. He's the peace giver. If I ain't mistaken, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 says He's the Prince of Peace. If you need peace today, He's the one who gives it. Well, preacher, I find peace in this and I find peace in that. Friend, you're hiding. You'll never have peace unless you have it with Jesus Christ. And here's the thing about the peace of Jesus Christ. When it comes from Him, you ain't got to worry about nobody else robbing it. He's got plenty of peace to go around. That's why He says, I don't give it like the world gives it. He says, my peace give I unto you. Secondly, it's got to be received. You got to come to Him and you got to receive it. Now, I'm not, maybe somebody here is bigger of a Bible scholar than I am, read the Bible more. I know some people may have read the Bible more than me, but I have never found in that scripture where there's a lack of peace to be gotten from Jesus Christ. But I have found in the scripture where many a people wrestle with things that profiteth nothing, and it doesn't bring peace. And lastly, surrender to it. Surrender to the one who gives the peace. I'll say this, and can we get some people to come? I'm done. As they're coming, I'm done preaching.